It's time to get back on the road again. We've been sidetracked long enough, and we have our next lead. If the tour guide to be believed, there's a fortress in the south, one that needs to be handled. Though I can't say that I'm not worried about this Shardlin dragon. So our first stop is to collect our new sled dogs, and then it's time to head back out into the cold. How will we fare this time around? Find out on today's short quest, Long Rest.
Tramp your way back to the barracks and re-enter? What were the rest of you doing while he was in there?
Attuning to booties.
Nah.
Attuning to wandies.
Yeah.
Nice.
Tavini is working on the little hater.
Okay.
What'd you say, Dreamer? What is he attuning to?
Attuning to the orb.
Oh, that's right. Whoa. Your scrying or your crystal ball.
The orb.
That's a good fucking set of magic items we pulled out of there. Oh, I think Rian walks up to Tavini and reaches into his pouch and holds out both hands. And he's like, choose a hand. He kind of has like his fist closed, knuckles up.
That one.
And she points to the right one.
Okay. And he opens it and there's a big ass diamond in it. Yeah. And then he opens the other one. It's also got a big ass diamond in it. He puts it both in the hand, hands it to her. Like, I think you could use those a little more than we could.
Thank you.
No problem. There's a gift from our friends at the Zentarum. He just gives a wink.
I do hope they don't miss us.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure they will. But at this point, in for a penny, in for a pound, in for a copper, in for a gold.
How much were those diamonds worth?
500, I think 500 piece.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Remember, that's what we got so excited about. Yeah, two times diamond, 500 gold each.
Yeah.
Under Rian. I'll put it under Tavini now.
Those are some fat boy diamonds.
Exactly. That's two fucking resurrections right there, because that's what it costs, right? 500 for a resurrection?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, so that's two fucking resurrections right there. That is Rian. I'm going to just call it Rian twice. if I had to guess how this shit's going to go... that's bringing Rian back twice. Because it sure as hell ain't going to be Krellic unless something hits him like a power word kill and he needs to do a fucking will save.
Oh yeah, Resurrection is 7th level and it is 1,000 gold diamond.
Oh, 8,000 gold diamond. Oh shit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well that's not even going to do it then.
This would be more for the Raise Dead spell.
Yeah. What's the Revivify? Is that the one? There's another one that's not Raised Dead, but it's similar, it's that brings you back.
Revivify is like the really quick one.
Yeah, that's the one I was thinking of. I think that's
Revivify is the one where you get a full minute to...
That's the one, it's diamonds worth 300 for Revivify.
Oh, gotcha. Yep. Well, either way, there's three of those then. That's Rian three times.
So, are we good? Are we leaving?
Hey, we're, heading over to the stables. We're looking for a guy named Ferdinand. He's going to get us all taken care of as far as the dogs go.
Alright.
I know. I'm not looking forward to this first leg of the trip, but if we can just make it there, get a good night's rest before we head out, then not only are we ahead of schedule, but we're well rested, amped up, and ready to fuck up some Durgar.
Let's just get it over with.
Hey, now that's the attitude I love.
Again.
He says so, mildly sarcastic. Just
puts his hood up and goes outside.
Well, now that you have had the hour that you need to tune to certain items, so what all was attuned to over this time? I know we talked about the boots of speed for Krellic, which in your case, the boots initially, when you pull them onto your feet, not a comfortable fit. You really kind of like got to jam them onto your foot. And as you're sitting there for an hour... just like focusing on the magics within, kind of waiting, trying to understand them. Your feet are killing you. They are cramped. It's a little surprising you were even able to fit a dwarven-sized foot into boots previously worn by a gnome.
That's awesome.
But as the hour passes, you realize that they're not uncomfortable anymore. And in fact, they haven't felt uncomfortable for probably the last 15, 20 minutes.
Oh, thank water then.
They don't, aside from that, they don't feel any different.
Huh. I'll play with
there
them.
There is... Yeah. Oh, you play with them?
I'll have to play with them.
Oh, okay. As for the Wand of the War Mage...
Wand of the War Mage plus two.
Plus two.
Ah,
yes, I will be reminded of that.
Uh-huh, yes.
Now you're Harry Potter.
Yeah.
It's a very, very unusual thing because, you know, war is typically associated with discipline and sort of a regimented approach to magic, and you are not that.
Nope.
So over the course of an hour, even though you're laying back in bed, just kind of chilling, letting this wand attuned to you, get familiar with you, you can almost feel it fighting you. It is like trying to drag a big dog along for a walk when it does not want to go. Like, paws digging into the sidewalk, just trying to sit down and pull back from you. And towards the end of the hour, you almost feel this wand, although it's not sentient, give up with just an exasperated sigh, and just accept that this is now its lot in life.
Nice.
Damn right. Slips it into his pocket.
Dreamer.
Yeah.
That crystal ball, right?
Yes, ma'am.
To tune to this one, you have to sit at the table for a bit there. And how have you set up the orb? Is it just like on the wooden table bare? You got a little cushion for it going on? Are you holding it? What are you doing with it?
He probably sits down on the floor, has it like crisscross, like sitting in the palm of his hands in his lap.
All right. And as you are sitting there meditating with it, kind of gazing into this crystal ball, from the very beginning as you're attuning to it, you can almost feel it looking back at you with the same sort of unblinking stare that you give other people. Again, not sentient, just a little bit of magic in there going like, you're something that's looking at me. I want to look at you. If you could imagine two dreamers in the room staring at each other and nothing happening, that is the look that this crystal ball and dreamer give to outsiders.
So my nightmare.
At least it's not focused on you.
It's true. It's true. You can look at the fucking ball all day.
Yeah. You eventually attune to it, and you have a orb of scrying now.
All right.
Bam, bam.
Tavini, did you want to do that stone that you guys found?
Hell yeah. Stone of telepathy?
The telepathy one?
Yes.
Do it.
Yeah, I think she's going to use it for the creation of her little bird, but she's going to attune to it to understand it.
Okay, let me grab this one.
Do it.
Okay.
Since, she'll need to wait a little bit longer, she might as
well
attune
to it. Can you roll me a
D100?
Uh-oh. Whee!
Incoming Illithid.
God damn it.
Well, maybe I'm wishing I'd attuned to it during the long rest.
Oh boy, that's really high.
Yeah, that's either really awesome or real bad.
Really high and really low is usually good and bad.
I am going to message you something really quick.
Oh dear.
Yeah, she was like, I think I like this. So she's going to attune to it after making her cute little hater.
Yeah.
Big bad evil Tavini.
Yeah.
Funny thing is, I've almost finished drawing her hater.
Nice. Looking forward to seeing it. As soon as I saw 96, I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
So there we are, Tavini.
Oh, shit. Oh, dear. That can't be good. That's, holy that's fuck, terrible. That can't be good.
It broke Elise.
Yep, it broke her.
Oh, God.
She gone.
Yep.
It's fine.
It's fine. Everything's fine. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Don't stress about it. It's fine.
Yeah, whatever with your earwig that like came out, anyway, it's gonna like eat your brain.
So here's the stats on the Psi Crystal. The more intelligent you are, the broader the range of telepathy you have available to yourself. It gives off a nice little glow. And as you attune to it, and it starts to give off this very, very faint, sort of purple-white glow to it. You're also feeling in the back of your mind almost a little pong, 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 like a submarine sonar.
Fuck.
That is drawing you to a location in the southwest. Like, you can tell immediately where it is trying to pull you to. It was one of the unusual locations that was marked on the map by the Durgar earlier.
Ooh, okay. She would probably know where that is.
You don't know what's there, but you certainly feel something drawing you that direction.
Oh, wait. Scratch that. She has the keen mind feat, so she probably know where that was on the map that she saw.
Oh yeah. It's actually not far from the fortress that you're destined to head to the next 12 hours or so.
Yeah, like a half day's journey between Sunblight and that place, but... So...
Oh, come on!
Pong! Pong!
I would say, Lando posted in the chat, return to mothership, which I was gonna literally call. I'm like... I'm gonna say that's a fucking crashed Illithid ship that we gotta go to. That's gonna be fucking there. I'm calling it now. I don't know.
Well, I guess we'll find out. Yeah.
Since everyone was busy with attuning to their things, she will just quietly stash it back in her pouch.
Now we know that in a zombie apocalypse, Tavini's the type that if she gets bit,
she's not telling anybody.
She fucking hides it. She puts it up her sleeve.
Get back!
I'm kidding. Let's say her and Lando.
She just wants to understand it so she can make a really good construct.
That's all she needs to do.
Yep.
That's all she needs to do. And that's
she
all
just wants
the gem
to study
wants
the
to
Psi Stone and then eat your brain.
Yep. God damn it. Okay. That's gonna make
so
me really sad.
So as a reminder, you also have a range of telepathy based on your intelligence score.
Mm-hmm.
As a sort of soft reminder of what telepathy is, you can communicate mentally with another creature within that range. The contacted creature does not need to share a language with you, but it must be able to understand at least one language. A creature without telepathy can receive and respond to telepathic messages, but they can't be the one who initiates or terminates the connection.
Oh,
you don't need,
my word.
You do not need to see a contacted creature to be able to connect with them and to break the connection.
Nice.
But as soon as they're no longer in range, it does break.
What's your int?
It is an action to connect telepathically. So in combat, you can't like trade messages around.
Oh, gotcha. You say, what's Tavini's int? I'm just wondering, are we talking like 30 feet, 60 feet? I can't imagine it's 120 feet. I mean, she's smart, but I don't. Does she have a 16 in intelligence?
Yeah, what's your intelligence there, Tavini?
Her intelligence is 14.
14, okay. 14. So yeah, we're talking 60 feet. Nice.
Yeah, not bad, not bad.
That's not bad at all. That's a good chunk of any battlefield to be 60 feet with somebody, so.
I'm so glad that someone finally attuned to that thing.
I know you've been
wanting it. She needs to attune to it to study it.
And we would have earlier. It's just one of those things where like it became a joke to keep it away from Dreamer. And it was just like, and we just kind of forgot about it after the joke. It was just like, I don't want him in my head.
So we're off to our boy Ferdinand.
Yep, heading to Ferdinand, getting our shit together, and setting the fuck out.
All right.
Yeah. Yep. All right. So you head southeast or southwest through East Haven to where even just a block or two away, you can hear dogs barking. And as you come around the corner and you see the sort of wide stable building, and it's one that you would have maybe seen distantly in passing when you first entered along the east way, is a long building with a wooden sloped roof that is just bathed in snow, as every other roof is here. You can hear the whickering of horses, the barking of dogs, and strangely, like, as you kind of cock your head, the shrieking of birds? Are there birds here?
How's that?
But you also see that in the sort of wide yard where there are pathways where they've sort of, like, taken the animals out for exercise, that there are a pair of dog sleds, sort of longer, laden with different packages and tied down with tarps, that have already been prepared for you. However, the dogs are nowhere to be seen, and the yard is empty. There is a sort of brightly lit sort of main building that is overlooking the yard, but there's no one out here actively watching the supplies.
Quick, let's steal him and go.
What are you doing?
Yeah, is there like an office type area, or...
Yeah, that'd be the main building. You could certainly head up and knock on the door.
Yep, that's what he'll do. He'll give a pound on the door. Anybody home?
So really quick, Adam.
Yes?
Did Krellick bring Burry into the yard?
Into the yard?
Into the stable yard here.
I wouldn't see why he wouldn't.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Okay. Yeah, there is a very, very, it's a slow breeze this evening, but enough to carry Burry's scent to the other animals here. And within a minute of Burry walking into the yard where they take the animals out for exercise, you could hear the panic of a couple horses in their stalls, the nervous whickering, a couple whinnies. You can hear that distant sound of birds suddenly, like, shrieking together. You're hearing thumps in stalls all around you. And the dogs are going nuts.
That's weird.
And it is... it is over this cacophony of sound that a gnome rushes hurriedly to the door and cracks it open. Hey, what? What? Oh, what's your name? Pointing at you, Rian.
Yeah, like, I'm Rian. Believe Imdra sent word of us. We're supposed to be collecting a couple sleds and
yes,
a mess of dogs.
Yes. And he kind of pokes his head out and seeing the bear in the yard. Mm-hmm. Oh, no wonder they're going nuts. Can you get that damn thing out of here?
Oh, it's probably
good. Go up the block or something.
Yeah. Krellick, would you be so kind as take Burry out of here? He's probably driving these poor dogs crazy. They're kind of, I don't think they get along with polar bears mostly out there.
All right.
And you're hearing like the hurr, hurr, hurr.
We'll be back.
All around.
I think Krellick's going to take Burry to get some fish real quick.
Okay. Perfect.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he'll send Miri with him too and just be like, Miri, they're going fishing. And say, I know that's like your favorite pastime.
Oh yeah, I'll make sure they get lots of fish.
There you go.
That's after mine.
Oh, absolutely. Get your fill.
Miri is like totally forgotten her curiosity about the animals. Like as you guys were entering, she's like poking her head into stalls. Is immediately turned around and gone to join Burry and Krellick. But yeah, so Ferdinand closes the door on you, and you could hear him thumping around on the other side of the door. And after a minute or so, he steps back out, and he has put on this bulky winter coat that's dyed a bright red, where you could barely see his face. It's cinched up in the front, to where just his eyes, his nose, and the upper lip are visible.
Let me, take care of you here, then. Let's, see what we had.
And he's got a clipboard with him that he is checking.
10 days worth of supplies for a team of 5. Those are already set up. Distributed between there, should be room enough for 2 people a sled there.
Perfect.
I counted 5 of you.
Oh, don't worry, the dwarf's gonna be riding that big-ass bear. It's his buddy. Buddy Burry.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
Aye, this is a shock for me too.
Bears are notoriously hard to train, so we haven't really done anything with them here.
Aye, understood. I think it's more magical, but anyways, moving on.
Ah, that would explain it. Oh, where was I? Dogs.
Come with me. And he leads the gang of you around the low stable building to where there are now much smaller stalls. And you can immediately tell you're near kennels because you can smell it.
Nice.
Even with the cold of winter sort of suppressing a lot of the natural odors of the world, dogs that are kept warm are going to be stinky in a group together. Mm-hmm. Now, I must warn you, have you ever worked with sled dogs before?
No, I've never... I don't even think I've never had a dog, I would say. So, no.
Any of you?
Any of you?
Had a dog or a sled dog?
No.
You, little one.
Tavini, ever?
And he's maybe like a couple inches taller than you, Tavini.
And she's got her heater in her arms, not yet lit.
No.
Oh dear.
That's a mess of nose, but I mean, how hard can it be? They pretty much do all of the driving, right? You just kind of let him go and point him in the right direction.
Yes, well, that's sometimes the problem with the new riders. When the dogs start going, if you fall off, they're going to keep going.
Sort of like a command word? Tell them to stop? Is it stop?
There are. They'll respond to mush.
Okay.
But if you don't have the presence that they expect of a dog handler, you might have a difficult time.
I don't know. I got away with words. I feel like we'd be all right. So, Felgren is a presence all in himself.
All right, well, let's get you situated then. And he does. Over the next 20 minutes or so, he walks you through how to harness the dogs, which they're all wriggly and bouncy as hell, so it is a little difficult. How to set up the traces. And again, the overeager dogs are just like constantly trying to lick at him and sniff at him and trying to, you know, explore these new people that are around them. After 20 minutes of wrestling dogs into harnesses, they do seem to kind of like be standing there patiently in the yard waiting for commands. There's this kind of nervous energy to the group.
Excellent. So, any other pieces of information we should know about the dogs before we head out? Like, you know, you said mush to go. What's, is there a word for stop? That'd be a good one to know.
That would be ho.
Ho. Mush and ho.
Okay. Yes.
Mush to go? Ho to stop. Gotcha.
You don't have to unharness them when you bed down for the night. You know, do give them occasional days off without it. But it's easier to kind of wrestle them around if they're in their harnesses.
Okay.
And which of you will be in charge of them? Just so they know, like, who to look to.
Oh, jeez.
Highest animal handling?
I was gonna say, it's gotta be Dreamer. I think he'll look to Dreamer and be like, Dreamer? How are you with animals? I mean, you turn into them. I got to imagine you're decent.
Well, I got a +4.
Yeah, that beats my +0.
Plus, after today, I could probably start preparing to speak with animals.
There you go. Don't you have, like, it's plant command, not animal command. I was like, don't we have a ring of, like, animal command? Well, that's plant command.
I suppose that'll be me.
Hey, he's the resident animal whisperer.
All right, well, time to get going then. Imdra seemed to think it was important we get you out of here quickly.
Aye, let's get all situated, get packed up, and get on the damn road.
Alrighty. And without further ado, you guys climb onto the back of the sleds and start heading southward. It is 11 hours of travel to the Sunblight Fortress with dog sleds. And I know that you guys were talking about giving them names. Whether you want to do that now or whether you want to wait until they survive is up to you.
That might be good. Maybe we'll just give it a hot second. Or we could, I don't know. What do you guys think?
Things don't get names until they survive one adventure.
Yeah, that's one right. Adventure?
They gotta earn those names.
So next session we'll actually name them. I like that. That's a good call. That's a good compromise. If they can survive one session, then we can put some
flavor in.
Yeah, some flavor on him.
The last dog we had that had a name didn't fare too well. So
that's true. His name was his boy.
Yeah.
Boy, and he died.
Boy.
Yeah.
I mean, your new dogs don't have to know about that.
That's true. Oh yeah, we don't talk about boy or father other dogs.
No.
But this reminds me of like XCOM, where, like, you have to survive before you can get, like, a name, like a nickname. You don't get a fucking, you'll have a name, but he doesn't get, like, a cool nickname until they've survived a mission or so.
Oh, okay. That's what's going on with these guys.
Alrighty, so.
Learn that name.
Yep.
How many hours did you decide you were going to travel southward?
Okay, so it's every hour after we travel, we have to roll exhaustion, right? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Well, yeah, so what's... I would say that you have about 4 hours of travel left in the day, where now, after that point, you will be rolling exhaustion.
Oh, that's not bad, then. I was thinking we only have two left.
Huh? What was that, Orlando?
Five.
Yeah, I'd say we push that extra one. That puts us 6 hours out. That gives us 2 hours in the day past then to, like, you know, deal with actual sunblight, and that seems like enough time for the most part.
I think if we can push for six, we can try to push for six, but five is...
Yeah, I guess this is what I'll say. I say we do five, and at that point, like, depending on how we roll, if everybody hits an exhaustion point, then it's like, yeah, maybe we shouldn't push it. But, like, if everybody passes, like, in real life, like, that's how it would be. If we got there and everybody's like, okay, we're feeling all right, we would push on another hour. But, you know, if we all fail, or a good chunk of us fail, then we'd probably cap it out for the five. So I think that would be a good tactic. See how I feel.
Completely fair.
Sounds good.
Yeah. All right. So, hey-o!
Tavini will set up the little hater on the one on whichever sled Felgren's going to be sitting on. So it's like this small hater, and it's got that, you know, like, insulated wall, so the air goes in and heats up and goes around and around and around and around, and then it eventually, like, comes out as exhaust for the fire.
I like
his face is all bundled up, but he does pat you on the head. And thank you.
It has enough room for one mug. So if someone wants a hot drink, they can put one mug in there.
Perfect for Felgren. Just sitting there sipping cocoa, sitting down. So, I can't help but think it is like Dreamer driving, Tavini sitting, and then Rian driving and Felgren sitting, like, on the thing, exactly. And him just sitting there with the fucking cocoa, just sipping, and, like, Rian just groaning and possibly making comments every, like, 30 minutes or so.
He's
like, how's that taste?
He's
nice,
like,
warm?
It's good.
Really milking that one cup.
Yeah, yeah.
He's making one cup of cocoa every couple of minutes, like, just...
Like,
warm my hands a bit.
At some point, I'm gonna shape water and freeze that shit on you. Like, the third drink, I'd just be like, snap my fingers and just.
That's just churlish.
I think it's a back in.
Yeah, he just pours it out, pours himself another drink. Just little fucking cube of ice just slides out of the cup and he fills it back up.
Well, I'm going to make that a reality. Let's do it.
I love it. I love it. It's canon now.
Okay. So, as you guys finish your first 5 hours of travel, and it's really boring aside from whatever conversations you're having between yourselves. Mm-hmm. It is just a straight southward slide over the snow with the dog's tails, you know, bouncing up and down in front of you. Occasional barking as they get distracted or sort of argue amongst themselves. But uneventful. Aside from the, you know, changing of the aurora from being across the sky to disappearing for the darkest part of night, where the dim light that it casts off is gone now, and you're just left with blackness around. You can keep pushing on if you want. You've gone 5 hours of travel southward.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do, I am going to need a DC 10 or DC 11 constitution saving throw.
Yeah, I say we definitely push on for that first bit and see what happens. And if after that we screw up, then, or if we don't do well after this one, then we'll stop. So.
And this is from each of us, right?
Yep, this is from each of you.
Okay.
I need con saves.
Of course, Princess is tired.
That is Felgren, Tavini... Wow, Krellick rolls a 4 and still beats it. Okay. Felgren and Tavini, as the 6th hour comes to a close, both of you are feeling pretty sleepy.
because they're sitting down in the
house. I was going to say.
A little sluggish.
Just fucking, they've been sitting still too long and falling asleep.
I'm not sure if it's that. I think Felgren just doesn't do well with the cold.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
And it's whipping around right now.
Do you guys want to keep going and do another check?
That is going to be, I'm going to put that up to Tavini and Felgren, because all of us passed. If you guys aren't feeling it, you're going to have one exhaustion point now that we're at 6 hours. Because that's right, we're at 6 hours, right? Or was that our fifth that just did that?
So when you hit five,
yep.
If you guys had stopped then, you'd be fine.
Okay.
You roll over into your sixth. At the end of your sixth is when we make this save.
Oh, okay, so we're in six now. We've gone six already.
We're in the sixth.
It's up to you guys. Now we only have five to go if we stop now to get to where we're going, which would mean that we still have 3 hours once we get there, as long as everything goes well, to actually do whatever we need to do in Sunblight.
What's the next level of exhaustion?
That's a very
good first one is disadvantage on skill checks.
Did we get one? Is that what happened? Okay.
You and Tavini both get a level of exhaustion.
Yeah, so right now, you're at one, or at disadvantage on skill checks, which means then next one is your speed is halved.
He's gonna grip Rian on the shoulder. Could we stop for a bit?
Aye. No problem. I was say, we actually went further than I was hoping to get anyway, so I think he'll call it like, oh, everybody, it's come to a stop. This is where we're going to have to put it down for the night.
Roll me an animal handling check.
Yeah, I knew you were going to do that.
I believe.
Roll high.
Nice.
Not bad.
12?
Okay.
That's pretty good for...
Yeah, no, the dogs respond to your command as you shout ho. They kind of start bounding a little, slowing down just enough because that sled has still got momentum behind them, to where gradually they're kind of just trotting forward and then come to a stop.
I think he just kind of, stooped shoulders, gets off the sled, and bundles himself up a little more.
Tavini's going to hop off the sled with Dreamer, and immediately go over to the one with the heater.
Nice. Warm up her hand. Yeah, I think Rian does the same at first. He's like, okay. It's like, take a second to heat up a little bit, and then we need to set up camp here. Get set up for the night. Get a fire going. We should be still far enough out from Sunblight that we shouldn't, attract too much unwanted... Oh, never mind. As Dreamer's, he just casts the Hearth of Moon Shadow. The dome, like, comes over him. He's like, never mind. Okay. we'll get the fire going, no problem.
Heart of Moon and Shadow, love it.
Yep, love it.
Alright. So during a short or long rest, you can invoke the shadowy power of the Gloaming Court to help guard your respite. Alright, 30-foot radius sphere of magic appears that gives everyone a stealth and perception check bonus. And any lights from within the sphere aren't visible outside of it. Yeah, if it's open flames and like.
Oh, cool.
Yep. Love that one.
I love that ability.
Say, that is a great ability that, like... Honestly, as far as utility go, Dreamer, you kill it. Like, your character just always has all the best shit as far as, like, making traveling and shit easier for us. And surviving the crazy little shit that, like, you always think of just, like, combat and, talking, but then there's so much more that could be such a big issue. This is one of them. Looking at all those traps, all that shit.
And what I'm gonna need from everyone now, are we taking a long rest here?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, there's no point in stopping for a short, we might as well. The exhaustion's the problem.
Four perception checks.
I want them all.
For people on watch.
At a plus five.
You're gonna do all of them?
Yeah, because of my when I shut down, I'm still conscious, so...
Okay.
I mean, yeah, he is the best at it, especially now that he's got all his bullshit.
All that bullshit.
I was gonna say, Dreamer...
Please give me all of the perception.
Yeah, I'd say, Dreamer is to perception what fucking Eddie is to flight.
I'm gonna add the plus five on there.
Ba-bam! Bop, 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 bop.
Yep, rolls an 11, gets a 23. Yup.
Yep.
Oh. Rolls a 2. Still gets a 14. Okay. That's the important part.
There was something I wanted to do before they went to sleep.
Okay.
Okay. What you got?
Just because Krellick is, well, he seems to be a paladin of Loredan now. So Tavini is going to approach him just as everyone's settling down to sleep. She's like really tired and her eyes are blinking owlishly. And she goes,
Krellick, I was wondering, would you like to do a... I know of a ceremony called dedication. And you said you feel a connection with Moradin more than ever before.
Aye.
Would you like to do the dedication ceremony before we sleep?
We can do that.
Or we could do it tomorrow.
We can do it now. I'm fine with it.
It will take an hour.
I'm in for it if you were.
Okay.
And she will sit with Krellick for an hour before they sleep and set up a dedication ceremony.
Okay.
I like it.
So what does a dedication ceremony to Moradin look like, you think? One that you have to, like, you know, obviously you don't have a forge here or a temple. You know, what is it to Tavini?
She's going to actually grab the heater and put it between them to act as a, like, a mock furnace type thing.
A conduit between the gods.
She will get out the powdered silver and she will start tracing Moradin's symbol on the little heater and ask him to set out.
Could you put your hammer aside this heater?
And he'll do as she asks.
And then she will walk him through breathing in and imagining his lungs like bellows and breathing out and just feel the warmth of the heater and feel the warmth of Moradin in this fire, this heat, and feeling it envelop him. And she's trying to help him just strengthen his connection with Moradin a little bit, just so that he understands that this is how he can reach out to their god and feel him in just the smallest bit of warmth. He's always there in the creativity, in the bonds that he has with his friends and his family. Moradin is there in his ingenuity and his ability in combat. Moradin is always with him. And she will, yeah, for the next hour they will kind of meditate. Or meditate as a halfling and a dwarf can.
Yeah, so though your bottoms are cold in the snow, the heat of the small furnace that you have created does seem to comfort you, envelop the pair of you as you proceed with the ceremony, and you know the rest of the group can do as they please and kind of do their own thing as you two are focused on this.
I think Vengren's pretty enraptured by it, to be honest.
Yeah, honestly, I think Rian is like, honestly, it's like some Matrix shit of them just like sitting cross-legged, like praying to their god. It's just like, this is interesting.
Yeah.
Moradin, also known as the soul forger or the all-father of the dwarves, is one who favors creativity. He favors smiths, he favors those who, you know, protect others. And both of you, in your own ways, have shown this to be your path. In Krellick's case, he is a man of armor and steel, muscle and might, putting himself between his allies and harm. In Tavini's case, it's a kind word and, you know, the soft healing touch and armoring others with her abilities as a forge cleric. And as the pair of you are sitting down and sort of reaching out to Moradin for this, you can feel his presence. Not necessarily exuding from this makeshift source of heat in front of you, but from within. From that place where that smite had come from when you were fighting earlier in the day. To that place where your magic stems from, Tavini. Those little reminders that even though you are shrouded in Arl's darkness and in her cold and in her everlasting winter, that there are other gods who are willing to listen and to aid those that seek them. So yeah, over the next 24 hours, our lad here has an additional D4 on all saving throws, as you are dedicated to Moradin.
Nice.
That's pretty awesome.
Comes at a great time for that, you know?
And yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I figured it would be a good time for dedication, because he's reconnecting with Moradin, and yeah, I thought it was a good time. Especially with what they're going to be facing tomorrow.
Yes. Very good time.
Anyone else want to do anything while you guys take this rest?
No, Felgren, after... I think he kind of just fell asleep listening to it.
Oh.
So he's slumped over on one of the sleds.
Okay. So, you guys set up your watches. I see that Dreamer rolled well towards the beginning and towards the end. But that in the middle there, he rolled a 14 and a 15, which would be good for the others. We know it's dog shit for Dreamer.
Yeah, exactly. He did roll shitty, but yeah, still, even with those shitty rolls, he's still badass. 20, yeah.
Two, he got a 14.
Yeah, and then a 3 for a 15. But yeah, the other two were a 23 and a 20.
God, the plus 5.
Yeah.
For Hearth of Moon and Shadow.
Yeah, plus
so delicious.
Plus 3, plus 3, plus 1, plus 5. That is nuts.
And it only gets Dreamer. Worse from here.
Yeah.
It only gets worse. Yeah, so for the first couple hours or so, as you're kind of on a low energy mode over watch, nothing really happens. I mean, you are able to kind of pay attention to the ceremony that Tavini performs with Krellic, passively watching in your shutdown mode. You do manage at some point to position yourself so that you are just staring at Felgren. As he sleeps, whether by accident or whether by design, so that when he wakes up, you're the first thing that he sees. But yeah, your night passes uneventfully. I say night, you know, quote unquote.
Yeah.
And towards the last watch shift, you know, it has been pitch black for the last 8 hours or so. But eventually, that aurora, like clockwork, reappears across the sky, you know, sealing that darkness in, as it were.
Sealing in the flavor.
And, yeah, no dangers in the night.
Yay.
Good.
Good. That bodes well.
Before everyone wakes up, I'm going to ponder the orb. I'm going to use the crystal ball to cast scrying.
Okay. Who you scrying on, guy?
What you scrying on?
I'm going to check on Elsa.
Oh, nice.
Alrighty.
And because it's using the crystal ball, the DC is 17.
Looking in on her and her dad?
Elsa and Garn?
Oh, no, sorry, my brain malfunctioned there.
You were thinking of the...
Marta.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
No, I was thinking she was thinking of Tavini's girlfriend. What the hell's her name? The daughter of the
I don't remember.
Thane. God, why can't
Hilda?
Hilda, that's what it is. Hilda.
No, this is Elsa of Black Iron Blades.
Yep,
fame.
Black Iron Blades. Elsa and Garn.
So, as you are going to check in on them, you know, you open your mind up to the orb. And your vision passes through the glass. And you almost get a fisheye lens view of a cozy in-room where Garn lies asleep in one bed, and the other bed is tousled, and someone's rolled out of it recently. It takes you a moment through this fisheye of looking around to see, like, what the hell's going on. And you see Ilsa there, kind of sitting at the window. She's got a bunch of blankets piled up in her lap. She seems to have dragged one of her blankets from the bed over her shoulders. And is looking out. You're not able to see what she's looking at. But it takes you a moment to kind of go, wait a second. Are they in, like, a cabin? You'd sent them onto the Dwarven Valley, hadn't you?
That's what we had sent them.
As you're continuing to watch the room, you see the door open just out of, like, the corner of your eye, and someone walk into view. They're a pale blue-skinned person with fluffy white hair piled atop their head.
Hey!
Someone that you would recognize as Neil, one of your staff over at the White Moose. Right, sorry to waylay you on the road like that again. It wasn't my idea. That would have been Stone. He thought you might be safer here with what they were, they sent the night before, you know? And Ilsa nods and just kind of continues to look out the window, seemingly a little distracted by something. And then she says, That big one, the Goliath down there, she, a forge, blacksmith, Neil. Oh, yeah, no, that's, that would be Louta. She's, learning. Do you think I could get you anything? Maybe I could set you up, with some breakfast. And just seems to be kind of going about the start of a morning there. They're fine, in other words.
Oh. Nice. Oh, that makes me so happy.
You hire a team of spies to keep an eye on your things.
Goddamn.
They're gonna find who you're sending where.
I like
that's
it.
Awesome. I love it.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense. Yeah, they freaking just intercepts and was like, you know what? You're coming with us. Don't worry, we got your back.
I'm giving them a raise. I'm giving them 100 gold when I see them next.
Stone in the family sly. Okay.
So. Could certainly linger for the entirety of Scry. It just seems that they're having a quiet conversation, trying not to wake up Garn.
I was just trying to make sure they were safe.
Love it.
They're safe.
Good man. Good check.
No NPC is safe.
Honestly, like, in reality, that's the case, so I appreciate you checking on that, because that makes me... That does put my mind at ease. I always wonder about shit like that. Like, there's every person we've ever touched after that first attack are all in my head now. I think about, like, the Half-Helms and how they're doing. Like, my mother is, like, not that far from us. Like, at least for what we know. Like, she's supposed to be in good meat, but we got other shit to deal with. So, you know, at least that's the last we kind of heard. And, you know, we've met a bunch of people along the way, people we like, and then, you know, we haven't heard from them in so long. Fucking... Garrett and his husband, like, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they burnt down the Black Iron Blades, and we only stopped by there one time. Same with Garrett and his husband, that we stopped by there twice. They might be doubly in trouble.
There's Paraloo somewhere in the world.
Paraloo, along with, God, what the hell is his name? Famous Duder.
Yeah, good luck checking on him.
Artist.
Artist, that's right, Artist Simber. Yeah. So yeah, he's out there. Lots of people that we've touched the lives of, and, you know, even the, yeah, Marta and her her father, like that shit. We spent time there, stayed at their place, you know, helped them out. So I always worry
about
all
of them. Speaking
of
helping
bit.
Out, where's my damn Goodberry, Dreamer?
Yeah, what the fuck's up with the Goodberries, Dreamer?
We got our full rest, our full long rest, yes.
Oh yeah, you got your full rest, and everyone can start coming around.
You don't have to spell this, spend the spell. We literally were given fucking food for, like, an entire, like, month's journey out here.
Yeah, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I'm gonna save the Goodberry for once, actually.
Yeah, that's probably a good call.
Good call, bud.
Alright, well, I guess Felgren will wake up if everything's copacetic come mm-hmm. morning.
Alrighty.
That was only halfway.
Yeah, it's over halfway, actually.
All right.
Tavini pops up with the same usual energy that she always has. Like, she wasn't, like, as if she wasn't exhausted at all yesterday. She's just like, pop, hello.
He just looks down at her, like, half-lidded.
Yep.
You know, just
Oh, Tavini.
Good morning.
Tavini. I checked on Elsa and Garn. They're safe at the White Moose right now.
That makes me very, very happy. Thank you.
That's good.
Yes. Hey. I did not know they were going to go there so quickly.
Yeah, us either.
Mm. It seems Stone and them picked them up on the road.
Ah. It's a good man. Hey. Stone.
I think I'm going to give them my 100 gold.
I mean, don't get too crazy. They're going to pay it well.
We're going to owe them a lot of money, I think, by the time we get home.
Yeah, they're going from being employees to partners, as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. Keep this up.
And if anyone wants to check on someone, you can have the crystal ball here.
Oh.
Oh yeah, we'd have to attune to it, right? But yeah, I guess anybody could do it.
Yeah, Felgren just nods. Does that...
What is it?
Can it scry on other planes?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I don't think the spell can.
And it's not a spell Felgren would know anything about.
Yeah.
It has to be on the same plane of existence.
Mm-hmm, that's what I was thinking.
So, damn. Dash his dreams.
I don't think sending has to be on the same plane.
I don't think either.
Does
it? No, it can be any plane. It just has like a 5% chance of not making it onto another
plane.
That's
right.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, well, it was just a thought.
I could send a message to someone.
Maybe later.
Okay.
So as we are heading out, I am gonna need 3 people to roll me a 3d20. Ooh. Or no, a d20 apiece.
I did. Call dibs.
Go ahead.
Well, just for one of them. I figured, you know, we could do 3 of them. I'm just calling one of them. So 1d20 for me.
I want one.
1d20.
Do okay. It.
All right.
Feck.
Hey. Who wants the last one?
No.
All right. Kay. I'll do it.
And 18. Okay.
13. Lucky 13.
Nice.
And 13. Okay. So as you are gearing up for your next leg of travel, the temperature, about what you would expect for, you know, it being perpetually frozen. No warmer or colder than normal. However, there is a very powerful wind coming at you sideways from the east. Just blowing everything, kicking up snow. It is distressing in how powerful this wind is out here in the open where you're still kind of like on the tundra. Maybe once you get in the mountains, it'll alleviate for now. It's like constantly pushing you westward. It's a little hard to hear one another over the wind as well. Last of all, there is a light snowfall that accompanies this wind, so you're occasionally getting fat plops of snow striking your cheeks. It is reducing visibility. Anything else you guys want to do before we continue?
I'm just adjusting my spells and going to put a +1 AC blessing on Miri again.
Aw, shucks. Love it.
Thank you.
Oh god, we're gonna go face Duergar. We should probably prepare something a little different.
Yeah, let's say, if you got, not to be meta, but if you got fucking fairy fire. Seriously, that is a game changer when fighting. Like, just period. Fairy fire can do some amazing shit. You can get it on a group. It means anybody attacks that person gets a fucking advantage on the attack. If you can see them, and I think if it's... Actually, I think even if they're invisible, you still get advantage on the attack. Because it lets you see them and they glow. So
you travel southward for about 3.5 hours. And as you enter sort of the teeth of the mountains, that strong wind from the east is slicing through the passes, does not seem to have alleviated any. And you come to where it starts to narrow and there's a winding path upward. And though it's taken you an hour per mile to get this far, now that you are in the mountains themselves, travel slows to 0.5 mile per hour with a dog sled. Like, it is distressing how hard it is sometimes to travel in the mountains in Icewind Dale. So after about 4 hours, let me grab something here, because I got
oh no.
So,
oh boy,
beyond the snowy foothills, low-lying clouds obscure the icy peaks of the gargantuan mountains that form the spine of the world. Eventually, as you're climbing, you get above the clouds and behold a sheer mountain wall rising more than 100 feet before you. Carved high on the wall are rows of arrow slits with lights burning behind them and clanking sounds issuing from them.
Holy shit.
There's a narrow staircase hewn from the rock that leads up along one side of the wall. So you dismount from the dog sleds and approach this narrow staircase. From high above, you hear a sudden loud grinding noise as large sheets of ice break off the fortress walls and tumble down the mountainside.
Oh, fuck.
High above you, massive doors of ice, previously hidden under the snow, start to crane themselves open with the clanking of chains.
Oh boy.
And this is more than 300 feet above you from where you stand at the base of the staircase. You feel under your feet as you are staring upward this rhythmic pounding. Sounds like the clanging of a forge and the tear of metal. As suddenly, from those doors high above, flies a huge dragon.
Fuck.
Made of dark ice. Its eyes glow with a bright golden light as it lets out a roar that shatters your eardrums, like leaves everyone deafened for a good minute. And it hurls itself skyward and starts to fly off to the northeast towards 10 towns.